नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम दी नाइन्थ चैप्टर ऑफ श्रीमद भगवद गीता। द चैप्टर इज टाइटल्ड एज द मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज और राजगुह्य योगा। सो आई विल डू अ क्विक रिकैप ऑफ व्हाट वी हैव सीन टिल नाउ। सो इन द फर्स्ट सिक्स चैप्टर्स ऑफ श्रीमद भगवद गीता कृष्णा स्पीक्स अबाउट कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज विच इज गुणीभूत भक्ति। गुणीभूत भक्ति इज प्रैक्टिस लाइक कर्म योग ज्ञान योग अष्टांग योग वेर भक्ति इज सेकेंडरी कर्म ज्ञान योग इज प्राइमरी एंड सच प्रैक्टिस कैन एट द मोस्ट गिव लीड वन टू इम्पर्सनल लिबरेशन सायुज्य मुक्ति। सो दिस इज एक्चुअली कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज। देन इन द सेवेंथ एंड एइथ चैप्टर्स कृष्णा स्पोक अबाउट प्राइमरीली प्राधानीभूत भक्ति। प्राधानीभूत भक्ति इज वेर भक्ति इज प्रिडामिनेंट एंड कर्म ज्ञान योग आर सेकेंडरी। सो ही स्पोक अबाउट कर्म मिश्र भक्ति ज्ञान मिश्र भक्ति योग मिश्र भक्ति। सो दीज आर एक्चुअली दीज कैन गिव अप टू अटेनमेंट ऑफ द स्पिरिचुअल अबोड बट नॉट प्रेम। सो दिस इज मोर कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज। Then in the ninth and tenth chapters, he predominantly speaks about Shuddha Bhakti, Bhakti which is uncontaminated and untouched by Karma Jnana Yoga. That is the most confidential knowledge. Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Ruttama. That's what he talks about in the in these two chapters primarily. So कृष्णा स्टार्ट्स दिस चैप्टर बाय टेलिंग इदं तु ते गुह्यतमं प्रवक्ष्यामि अनसूयवे ज्ञानं विज्ञान सहितं यज्ञात्वा मोक्षसे अशुभात्। ओ अर्जुन आई विल स्पीक टू यू अबाउट द मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज बिकॉज यू हैव नो एनवी एंड अंडरस्टैंडिंग दिस यू विल बी फ्रीड फ्रॉम ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ सफरिंग। व्हाट इज द नेचर ऑफ दिस नॉलेज राजविद्या राजगुह्यं पवित्रम इदम उत्तमं प्रत्यक्षावगमं धर्म्यं सुसुखं कर्तुम अव्ययम्। राजविद्या दिस इज द किंग ऑफ ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ एजुकेशन। राजगुह्यम दिस इज द मोस्ट सीक्रेट अमंगस्ट ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ भक्ति यू नो प्राधानीभूत भक्ति गुणीभूत भक्ति एंड शुद्ध भक्ति। अमंगस्ट दैट शुद्ध भक्ति इज द मोस्ट सीक्रेट फॉर्म एंड पवित्रम इदम उत्तमम। नो अदर प्रोसेस इज एज प्यूरिफाइंग एज दिस मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल path of pure devotional service. Pratyakshavagamam and the results of this practice can be directly experienced. Bhakti paresha anubhavo viraktir anyatra chaisha trika eka kala. One can directly experience the result of one's progress on the path of bhakti. And then dharmyam, even though practitioners of shuddha bhakti may not seem to be performing the ordinary dharmic rules like varnashrama etc, but still one should not think that devotees are adharmic because they are following the parodharma as per their particular qualification, that is the dharma that is recommended for them. Susukam kartum, this process of shuddha bhakti is very pleasant because generally the other practices which aim at a transcendental goal involve disengagement of the senses from the sense objects, which is very difficult. But bhakti does not involve disengagement of the senses from the sense objects. There is engagement for the pleasure of Krishna, so therefore it is much more easier. And avyayam, bhakti is the only eternal path. All the other practices are given up at some stage. Karma is given up when one reaches the qualification for jnana. Jnana is given up, Jnana and Yoga are given up before liberation. Whereas Bhakti, the practices of Bhakti are never given up even after attaining the stage of perfection. therefore it is avyayam. But ashraddhadana purushah dharmasyasya parantapa apraapyamam nivartante mrityu samsaravatmani. But one who does not have faith in the path of bhakti, either as a pure practice or as an element of other practices, such a person can never attain liberation. He will remain in this material world only. So now, understanding this most confidential knowledge, and through this most confidential knowledge, attaining the vigyan, which means understanding Krishna and attaining perfection by that, it starts with actually, this actually starts with understanding the Aishwarya of the Supreme Lord, especially his powers with respect to creation, maintenance and destruction of this material universe. His Purushavatara Leela has to be clearly understood. That is very critical. So that is described in the next section. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshu avastitah. Krishna says, by me, in my form which is invisible to the senses, material senses, as Paramatma, I pervade through this whole universe. All living entities are situated in me, they are dependent on me, but I am not in them because I am completely detached from them. Nachamatstani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram bhutabrin nachabhutasto mamatma bhutabhavanah. O Arjuna, all living beings are not in me because I am completely detached, and see this inconceivable potency of me, even though I maintain them and protect them, but still I am detached from them. This is not seen in this material world. Generally, whenever a person maintains and protects something, some people, some object, generally there is attachment. But Krishna is the one who maintains and protects this universe despite having no attachment to this universe. And this is inconceivable power. He gives an example to illustrate this point. Yatakasha stito nityam vayur sarvatra go mahan tata sarvani bhutani mastani tyupadharaya. Krishna says that just like ether supports the air, but still supports and maintains the movement of the air, but still the ether is completely detached from the air and the air is completely detached from ether. In the same way, I am completely, even though I protect and maintain the living entities and this material universe, I am completely detached from them. But someone may say, now you have given an example to illustrate how you maintain. So why do you say that it is inconceivable? Pashyame yogam aishwaram. Why do you say it is inconceivable? He says, yes, it is still inconceivable because the example that is given, that is ether and air, both are inanimate objects. And inanimate objects, having no consciousness, cannot have attachment to anything or anyone. But amongst the conscious living entities, you will never see protection and maintenance bestowed by one living entity over another object or another living entity without any attachment. That is seen only in me. Therefore, it is still inconceivable, even though I have given a material example to illustrate this point. Then Krishna says, Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. So all living entities will enter my prakriti at the time of destruction, and at the time of creation I again create everything. This periodically happens. Prakritim swam avashtabhya visrajami punapuna bhutagramam evam kratsnam avasham prakritir vashat. Being situated in prakriti which belongs to me, I create again and again all the living entities, I create their bodies, who all are dependent and being under the control of their previous natures, previous swabhava. Nachamam tani karmani nibaddanti dananjaya udasinam adasinam asaktam teshu karmashu. Arjuna, even living entities, human beings in this world, even if they perform small activity, actually, even if they perform a small activity, they get bound by those activities. But here I am engaged in completely maintaining this whole universe, but I am not at all bound by any of my activities because udasina vadasinam, I am completely unattached to these activities, so I am not at all bound. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. Krishna says, by my direction as Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, prakriti gives rise to this universe of moving and non-moving living entities. By this cause, the universe appears again and again. By this cause, the universe appears again and again. But it all happens under my supervision as Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Then, even though I am so exalted, everything is happening under my supervision and surveillance, but still, avajananti mam mudha manushindanum ashritam parambhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. But still, this verse, two meanings are given by Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur. One thing is, even though when I appear as Krishna, people think that I am, because I appear in a normal form, perform human-like activities, they think that I am just an expansion of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu or the Purusha Avataras. Maya avajananti mam mooda manushim tanumashritam. People are not aware that even though I appear in a simple two-handed form as a cowherd boy, but this is the original form, this is the sarvakarana karanam. All the other expansions, including Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. People do not understand. People think that I am just an insignificant avatar of the Purusha Avataras. Mama parambhava majananto. They do not know that I am the source of everything. This is one understanding. Another understanding is, even though the Supreme Lord is so exalted, but because he possesses a human-like form, people think that he also has an ordinary material body, and he is also an ordinary person, or at the most an extraordinary person having an extraordinary material body and extraordinary prowess. That much only they think. So people do not accept my form to be transcendental and spiritual. And if they do not accept that, what happens? Mogasha, moga karmano, moga jnana vichetasa, rakshasim, asurim chaiva, prakritim, mohinim shrita. So it is mentioned that if one does not accept the form of the Lord to be transcendental, then mogasha, all their moga karmano, moga jnana vichetasa. Actually, if they are karma yogis, their endeavor to attain swarga and other such goals will be futile. They will not attain it. If they are jnana yogis, their endeavors to attain liberation will be futile. And if they are bhakti yogis, their endeavors to attain a relationship with Krishna will be futile because of their not acceptance of Krishna's form to be transcendental. Rather, rakshasi masurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shrita. They assume the nature of the rakshasas and asuras, which is rajogun and tamogun, and they remain in this material world. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. On the other hand, to contrast, mahatmanaha, fortunate souls who by the chance association with devotees, okay, they receive the seed of devotion. By that seed of devotion, daivim prakritim ashrita, they develop a divine nature by which they feel inclined to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Daivim prakritim. Daivim prakritim means Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asurastad viparyaya. Whoever has Vishnu bhakti, he is daiva. Asuras tad viparyaya. And one who is not a Vishnu Bhakta is an Asura. And how does one become a Vishnu Bhakta? By the chance association of a devotee. Therefore, Mahatma indicates a fortunate soul who is fortunate enough to attain the association of devotees through which he has developed attraction to worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Daivim Prakritim Ashrita. He takes up the nature of Daiva, which involves worshipping Krishna. Okay. So, such people, what they do? Bhajanti Ananya Manaso. They worship Krishna Ananya Manaso. Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. Without any distraction, they worship the Supreme Lord. Gyatva Bhutadim Avyayam. Understanding that this human-like form of Krishna is the source of everything in this universe, and it is also the source of all the other avatars and incarnations. And Avyayam, it is spiritual, it is indestructible. Okay. And what is the nature of that bhajan? Bhajanti Ananya Manaso. So what is the nature of that worship? Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantascha Dridabrataha Namasyantascha Mam Bhaktya Nitya Yukta Upasate. Krishna says, Satatam Mam Upasate. Such people worship me at all times. All times does not necessarily mean 24 hours they are engaging in worship. But it is not that whenever worship is involved, they engage only in devotional service. Not that sometimes karma, sometimes jnana, sometimes yoga, not like that. So satatam means there is a consistent faith or desire to worship Krishna only through devotional service and nothing else. Even though there may not be actually ability to continuously engage in Krishna's service, but at least they don't mix it with karma, jnana, yoga or any other practices or worship of demigods and things like that. Satatam mam upasate. How do they worship? Bhaktya. Only through the process of devotional service. And what is the nature of this bhakti? Kirtayanto. They either sing my glories. Dridavrataha. They perform strict vows of Ekadashi and all those kind of things. And Nitya Yukta, with a desire to become the associate of Krishna. They have no other desire. Anya Bilashita Shunyam. Yatantaha. And these devotees, they seem to very clearly understand the importance of association of Vaishnavas in their life. So they very consciously endeavor hard for that association. That is the meaning of Yatantaha. Namasyantascha mam bhaktya, and they offer me respects as well as all other devotional acts. Okay. But on the other hand, there are others who may not directly worship Krishna. They may worship Krishna in a very indirect way. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate ekatvena pratakvena bahudha vishvato mukam. So, Krishna says there are others who worship the Supreme Lord through three types: ahangropasana, pratikopasana, and vishwarupa upasana. So ahangropasana is kind of considering the oneself to be the Supreme Lord only for the purpose of worship. You know, this is not exactly Mayavad, but this is a very, you can say, a very degraded form of worship, but this is accepted in the Shastras. Okay. And Pratikopasana is worshipping the various demigod forms, considering them to be the limbs of the Supreme Lord. Okay. So, this is not direct demigod worship. That is outright rejected. This Pratikopasana is sort of accepted. And Vishwarupa Upasana is universal form meditation. He says these three types of meditations are there, which are very indirect ways of worshipping the Supreme Lord. Then Krishna in the next four verses describes how this Vishwarupa Upasana is practiced in many ways. You know, aham kratur aham yajna swadaham aham aushadam mantroham aham evadyam aham agnir aham hutam pitaham masya jagato mata data pitamaha and so on. You know, how Krishna is various things that we see in this world. Krishna is that, he is the source of that, one understands that and worships accordingly. That is Vishwarupa Upasana. Okay. Then, so, but this is all, you know, in one sense, like there is some kind of worship of the Lord, okay, at least indirect. But there are others who outright take the path of Karma Kanda, which may involve demigod worship and all that. Traividyamam somapa putapapa yajnairishtva swargatim prarthayante te punyam asadya surendra lokam ashnanti divyan divideva bhogan. So it is mentioned that those who take up the karmakandiya section of the Vedas, they worship Krishna very indirectly through these karmakandiya sacrifices, aspiring for temporary material goals like going to Swarga, drinking Soma juice and so on. So by these kind of karmakandiya practices, they attain lot of punya, and by that punya they go to Swarga and enjoy heavenly pleasures. Tetam buktva swargalokam vishalam shine punye matyalokam vishanti te punya masadya suren evam trayi dharma manuprapanna gatagatam kama kama labante. Tetam buktva swargalokam vishalam, after enjoying the heavenly pleasures, shine punye matyalokam vishanti, after their punya gets over, they have to come back to the matyaloka and then again perform punya and then go to swarga. Gata agata Gata agata evam traidharma manuprapanna. As long as they follow only this karmakandiya section of the Vedas, they go and come back, go and come back, go and come back. They don't think about escaping this material world at all. But they do get their enjoyment through the through their piety. But Krishna says, but what about the devotees, pure devotees? Because pure devotees have given up the path of karma. They have given up the path of piety. So if they have given up the path of piety, how are they going to get their pleasures? How they are going to experience the pleasure? So Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yajana pariyupasate tesham nitya abhiyukta nam yogakshemam vahamyaham. So Krishna says that I will personally carry the burden of supply and maintenance of those who desire association with me. Ananyas chintayah. Ananyas chintayanto mam nitya abhiyuktanam. So to those people who desire constant association with me and thinking only of me, they worship only me and no one else, through no other process like Karma Jnana Yoga, for them, I personally, out of my own feeling of indebtedness, love, affection for my devotees, I personally wish to carry what they lack and provide, sorry, carry what they have and provide what they lack. So, this is my desire, Krishna says. So their happiness is not according to their karma. I personally provide it for them. Okay. So then, but yepi anya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvitaha tepi mameva kaunteya yajante avidipurvakam. So Krishna says, but those who do not worship me, either directly or indirectly, but instead worship the demigods, in one sense they are also worshipping me only, but it is neither direct nor indirect, but it is improper. Because whatever they worship, whatever anyone worships, you know, ultimately everything is an energy of me only. So either they are energy of me, or they are expansions of me, or they are empowered personalities who have been empowered by me. So whatever anyone worships, whomever anyone worships in this world, they are ultimately, they are connected to me. They have to worship. They are, it is like my worship only. But it is not a prescribed form of worship. Avidhi purvakam. It is a wrong kind of worship. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bokta cha praburev cha natumam abhijananti tatve natascha vantite. So these karmakandis who worship the demigods, they don't understand that I am the enjoyer and master of all the sacrifices. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bokta cha praburev cha natumam abhijananti. Those who do not understand me in this way, they will fall down. Yanti devavrata devan pitanyanti pitavrataah bhutani yanti bhutejya yanti madhyajinopi mam. So, and such people will get only temporary benefits. Why? Because the principle is, whomever you worship, you go to their abode. You worship the devatas, you go to their abode. But you can't permanently stay there because the devatas themselves are not permanent. Their abodes are not permanent. So therefore, you worship them, you go to their abode, and because when it is time for pralaya, that swargaloka gets destroyed, so you also have to come back. At the most, you can stay there till till it is destroyed or till your piety does not get exhausted. But one who worships me, they come to my abode because I am eternal. My abode is eternal. So when they come to my abode, they also get to stay there eternally. Okay. So then Krishna says, Patram pushpam falam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. And worshipping me is not so difficult. Worshipping the demigods and other such personalities, you know, there has to be perfect following of the time and you know, the place and purity and you know, the of the ingredients and everything. But for me, worshipping me is very easy. Patram pushpam falam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. I accept that which is offered with love. Bhakti upahritam. Prayatatmanah, from the genuine devotee, bhaktya, who has pure body and pure mind. And patram pushpam falam toyam prayachati, who gives just a leaf, flower, fruit or water. So in this context, we were discussing last week that the word bhaktya literally means by the devotional process, not by any other process. Okay. So then we saw that so a person endowed with genuine devotion, the real devotee. So, and then we saw prayatatmanaha, he must have a pure body. Pure body, we saw, it means a ritually pure body. What does it mean? It means this excludes persons from offering during menstrual cycle or with other impurities. Prayatatmana also can mean a person with pure mind. Okay. Pure mind means a mind which does not have other goals. Okay. So in this context, we were discussing last week that I said I will confirm with Maharaj about what about, you know, a very natural thing. You know, what if someone is a single Mataji who is staying, there is no one else to cook. So, should she cook for the Lord or not? Because she, during that monthly period time, you know, there is no ritually pure body. So, what does one do? So, someone shared, a similar question was asked to one of the, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, and he answered that, see, ideally, that is not the ideal standards, but worst case, rather than not cooking, one can offer prayers and actually go ahead and cook for the Supreme Lord. Okay. But having said that, you know, in a home, it is better that at least the other male residents also learned some type of cooking, so that on those particular days when the Mataji is unable to cook, the others can cook. And also the suggestion was few devotee families could stay very close to each other, so that they can take turns sometimes. Okay, suddenly you know, if those few days when at one home one is not able to cook, you know, someone else can help them out, cook for their home deities also, like that. So like that, you know, if one genuinely wants, has a desire to provide Krishna with you know, the best form of service, then one can definitely you know, arrange it accordingly, like that. So then I think this was 27th, was the last verse that we saw last time, last week. Yeah, so the 27th verse, Krishna says, yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhosi dadasyat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurishva madarpanam. So this is actually Samacharyas say karma mishra bhakti, but Samacharyas say this is karma jnana mishra pradani bhuta bhakti, like that. So whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice, whatever you give, whatever austerity that you may perform, offer it to me, Krishna says. This is not Shuddha Bhakti, because in Shuddha Bhakti, as much as possible, the devotee tries to perform those activities which are pleasing to Krishna. Okay? Only on the path of karma, or when there is a tinge of karma, the activity is performed and then the fruits are offered. In karma yoga, only the Vedic prescribed activities according to one's varna and ashrama, they are performed and the fruits are offered. But in karma mishra bhakti, all the activities that one performs, the fruits are offered to the Supreme Lord. Okay, but in bhakti, in Shuddha Bhakti, there is no offering to the Supreme Lord after performing that activity. Practically every activity which is performed is for the pleasure of Krishna only. Okay, so therefore here Srila Vishnu Chaitanya Thakur says that Arjuna may ask, which bhakti should I perform? Because you have described so many different types of bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, etc. Which type should I perform? At this stage of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna suggests, O Arjuna, right now, you are not qualified to immediately reject karma, jnana and the other processes in your current state. Of course, Arjuna is not a sadhaka. He is not even a, Arjuna is not a karma sadhaka, jnana sadhaka, or yoga sadhaka, or even bhakti sadhaka. Arjuna is a nitya siddha devotee of Krishna. But because Krishna is utilizing Arjuna to teach about various different practices, therefore, Arjuna at different times during this narration of Bhagavad Gita assumes a practitioner of a particular type of process. Sometimes Krishna speaks to Arjuna as if he is a Sakama Karma Yogi. Sometimes he speaks to Arjuna as if he is a Nishkama Karma Yogi and instructs him accordingly. Sometimes he instructs him as if he is qualified for Jnana Yoga. Sometimes he instructs him as if he is qualified for Ashtanga Yoga. And here at this stage, he is instructing him as if he is qualified for this kind of bhakti, predominant bhakti with a slight tinge of karma and jnana, like that. So he calls it karma jnana mishra pradani bhuta bhakti, like that. Okay. So I think this is where we ended our discussion last week. So we will start from 28th verse. We still have 7 verses left in this particular chapter, But before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. You can either raise your hands or type your questions in the chat box, whatever you may feel comfortable. Yes, Vahini Mataji.
Hare Krishna, am I audible?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. So, Prabhuji, regarding this offering bhoga, I saw a visual of a Ukrainian boy. You know, he is so poor that he does not have fruits to offer. So he makes drawings. You know, he draws with the crayon on the paper, and he makes drawings of fruits or you know, whatever he wants to offer, and he puts that paper in front of Krishna and offers it. So
Yes.
I was just thinking that, you know, Lord will accept that also.
Yes, why not? Because it's not that the boy does not want to offer real fruits, but he does not have. So rather than telling, okay, anyways, I don't have, at least with whatever he has, he's at least may, so because one can even make mental offerings. You know, that is very much accepted. Even in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, that story is given of that
Kheer, yeah.
Pratishthanapur, that kheer cooking.
Yeah.
And even Yamuna Mataji, you know, in her later days when it was very difficult for her to cook, on festival days, she used to make elaborate feast all mentally. She used to do it.
Oh, nice, yeah.
So,
Thank you. Yeah.
It is definitely, Krishna is Bhavagrahi, he will definitely accept it.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Shivakumar Prabhu.
Hi, Prabhu, the dog comes. Prabhu,
Dandasana.
on 927, Prabhu, the Karma Mishra Bhakti, offering the results after performance of the activity. I'm just trying to understand, Prabhu, does that mean working for some material benefits and then offering the benefits back to the Lord? Is that what it means?
Yeah, something like that. Yes.
Versus the pure devotion service, we kind of align our activity itself to the norms suggested,
Correct.
devoid of material benefits. Okay,
Yeah,
thank
and the norms are decided by pure devotional scriptures. Whereas in
Mm-hmm.
Karma Mishra Bhakti, some activities may be, or many activities may be according to the guidelines of the Dharma Shastras. Whereas in pure devotional service, all activities are under the guidelines of pure devotional literatures.
Probably just
Based on
one.
the principles, based on the principles of, or rather than activities, because that can be a little confusing, because you may say a Karma Yogi also does his profession, a Bhakti Yogi also does his profession. So I would say rather than activities, I would say under the principle of Anukulyasya Sankalpo Pratikulyasya Varjanam. So the activities are decided based on this principle rather than Dharmasya Sankalpo Adharmasya Varjanam. You know, whatever is Dharma according to the Dharma Shastras, you should accept. Whatever is Adharma according to the Dharma Shastras, you reject. Rather than that, the principle, the guiding principle for the devotees is bhakti anukulyasya sankalpo bhakti pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable for bhakti, you accept. Whatever is unfavorable for bhakti, you reject. So based on those principles, devotees accept and reject things so that it is appropriate.
Prabhu, one practical question, Prabhu, here. Now, the what is a need for me versus what is I don't know what to call lavishness or luxury for me. It varies from person to person, right, Prabhu? Subjective, in the sense that if somebody says that this is my bare minimal needs for sustaining my material body and life here, and then I put my time and energy in bhakti, that depends on person to person, right, Prabhu? In that sense,
Yeah,
is there not a
it depends not just on person to person. Yeah. It does not just depend on person to person, individual level of detachment and everything.
Mm.
It depends on their situation also. Okay. So, because as a person, as an individual, but no one lives as an individual in a society. They have their own family. Different people's family situation is different. So one cannot just be considering one's own individual sense of attachment or detachment, but one should also consider the greater family to which one may have a sense of responsibility. So one, so therefore, what is luxury, what is necessity, cannot just be decided based on one's own situation, one's own personal internal you know, level of maturity, but one should also consider it based on you know, the family situation.
True, true, Prabhu. So you are bringing in one more layer, Prabhu. So what I was trying to say is, in this case, the level of the pure devotional service, the extent to which, or the purity aspect of it, is actually finally boils down to subjective, right, Prabhu, from case to case.
Purity means, what do you mean by purity?
As in, to what extent I devote my time and energy into the pure bhakti versus redirecting it for my material survival itself.
No, material survival for the purpose of eventual engagement in Krishna consciousness is a devotional activity only. Sleeping is a devotional activity. Like we saw last time, I think I'm not able to, I think it was in the morning Bhagavatam forum. Even, you know, our expulsion of waste from our body is actually sadhana bhakti, because if it is not properly regulated, it affects our mind, and if our mind is affected, it is difficult to properly practice our sadhana. So practically, we don't, devotees do not distinguish that this is a material activity, this is devotional service. Not like that. Devotees don't do that. Either they engage in the primary limbs of devotional service, or they engage in secondary limbs of devotional service. This is conscious engagement. Okay. Conscious engagement is either there in primary limbs of devotional service or secondary limbs. Primary limbs means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, etc. Secondary limbs means engagement in those activities which may eventually facilitate the practice of the primary limbs. Like, for example, I have to earn money, so for I have to perform my professional activities. So engagement in a profession for a devotee is a secondary limb of devotional service. Okay. Sleeping. Sleeping by in itself is not devotional service. But when a devotee sleeps, he wants to wake up and be fresh for engagement in various devotional activities. So there, sleeping becomes a secondary limb of devotional service. So, as devotees, there are only three types of activities that they can engage in. Either primary limbs, direct devotional activities, secondary limbs, or sometimes, under the influence of their vasanas or their material conditioned nature, they may slip and end up engaging in unfavorable activities, which they may regret later. So, but that is not a conscious engagement. That is not a, that is not a part of their planning. Okay. So therefore, conscious engagement for devotees is either in the primary limbs or the secondary limbs. Both are limbs of devotional service only.
That's where, Prabhu, just one, sorry, Prabhu, one thing that I wanted to bring up, the time and energy that I devote for my secondary limb, that example that you talked about, Prabhu, it depends on either the individual's maturity in bhakti, or also you brought up that aspect of his circumstance, including his family and all that. So what I see is, based on these two aspects, my extent of my involvement in the primary limb, secondary limb itself varies from person to person, right, Prabhu?
Correct.
So what I was trying to think, Prabhu, in this this varying involvement in these two limbs does not necessarily push the pure devotional service sadhaka into a karma mishra bhakti, right, Prabhu?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Because one example,
it is not,
Prabhu.
It is not just the activity. It is just, it involves the faith. Where is one's faith? Sometimes, you know, just like, you know, the sun may want, of course, or the family members may push that person, you know, due to family pressure, he may end up performing certain activities are of karma. Okay. So that would come under because so he may engage in that without faith, just for just so that the family members do not get antagonistic towards his karma. So that, because he has very clear faith in bhakti only and not on karma, his engagement in that activity also will not disqualify him, will not make him into a Mishra Bhakta, because he is very clear as to why he is doing what he is doing.
Okay. So that finally boils down to the sincerity of the sadhaka in his heart, right, Prabhu, in terms
yeah.
of
clarity and understanding of why he is doing what he is doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Correct. Shyamlal too.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji.
So, Prabhuji, just one view. We were speaking about Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. So, my understanding always was that this is pure devotional service, because
it is pure devotional service.
It is not, because you just said that Pradhani, it is Pradhani.
The next verse. Yat Karoshi Yadashnasi. I was talking about the next verse. 927, not 926. 926 is pure devotional service.
Okay,
926
okay,
is Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. That is pure devotional
correct,
service.
Correct.
Yat Karoshi Adashnashi is Pradhani Bhutam.
Okay. Sorry, I got confused. Sorry.
No problem.
Nariva.
Okay, there is something in the chat box. Let's take. Okay, there is one question here. In Mogasha Moga Karmano verse, if one performs Karmakandi activities and worships and thinks Vishnu as all in all and don't know anything about Krishna, his form, his being avatari, and also doesn't offend, so will such a person reach Swarga? Yeah. The Swarga and other things are mostly dependent on temporary benefits one may get according to their karma, but no transcendental benefit one will get. Yeah. And okay, next question. When Yamuna Mataji was in Bhaktivedanta Hospital and it was Brahmotsav, so someone shares that I have personally heard from a devotee who was serving her that she wrote every recipe in detail and offered, not just meditating, but writing it in the, you know, in the mailbox. She literally wrote and she wrote the recipe. So it was not just, okay, I will mentally offer, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, not like that. She literally, because she could not cook, she wrote that recipe. She mailed it. She wrote an email, you know, in those days of emails. She literally sat and wrote each and every recipe, how it is made, because she was in the hospital. So that is Yamuna Mataji. Okay, thank you. Sri Vidya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I was just thinking about the Yat Karoshi Adashnashi. Like, I mean, the difference you said was that like in a pure devotee, in a pure bhakti, we think of Krishna and then we do the activity. Here it is here we do activity and then offer it to Krishna, right? Even at that level, Prabhuji, for somebody to do some activity and think of Krishna, because Krishna says, yet karoshi, whatever you do, whatever you eat. So in each and every activity, thinking about Krishna, the
I
smaranam
will
of
have to
Krishna.
Clarify, Mataji, before you end your question,
Sir,
because
yes,
there is a
Prabhuji.
slight misunderstanding in your presentation.
Okay.
I will just clarify. In this Yatkaroshi Yadashnasi, the person is not just guided by the Bhakti Shastras in his or her choice of activities.
Okay.
Okay. So that is the problem.
Okay.
Forget about offering before, after, and all those things. The main problem is their choice of activities is not just guided by the is some of the activities they may perform guided by the Bhakti Shastras, but some of the activities are not guided by the Bhakti Shastras. They may be guided by some other Shastras, Dharma Shastras.
Okay.
Okay. And
Okay.
not all activities are performed in the mood of Anukulyasa Sankalpo Pratikulyasa Varjanam. Some activities may be, but some other activities may be performed with other considerations like Dharmasya Sankalpo, Adharmasya Varjanam. So, with those kind of considerations, even though they may offer the fruits to Krishna, but the activity itself was performed with a different kind of value system, which is not necessarily pure devotional. So otherwise, yes, they are glorious, whatever they do, they are offering. But whatever they do, they are not consulting with the Bhakti Shastras always. That is why it is mixed word.
Okay. But I was just thinking, even for somebody to do that, Prabhuji, it needs some sort of, basic bhakti within you, right? For to
See, that
think
is why
about
I said
Krishna.
Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti means they have predominant bhakti with little bit tinge of karma in it, or jnana, or yoga. So there is a lot of bhakti in them.
Okay. So that is what, as we are discussing, even as sadhakas, we even do have a lot of, such desires, and then we take, some excuse or use this process, just as, we are discussing, we want to have some outside food. So we just say, this one, we some take some excuse, and then we have this one, and then we say Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, and then we take it. So something, it happens with us also, right? Even
Yeah,
though
so this is different. So when you do Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, you know very clearly that this is not the highest standard.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
right? So we know that we are just giving an excuse. But in the case of this Karma Mishra Bhakta, for them, sometimes when they act according to the principle of Dharma Shastras, they don't see that it is a deviation. They don't see that it is a compromise. They see it is perfectly fine. I'm doing it right. That's what they think. So, therefore, that is the difference.
Very clear now. So, since it's whimsical and not based on any Shastric, this one. So, like you say, it's
no,
whimsical.
They are not whimsical. They are not whimsical. They follow Shastras, but not just
Bhakti Shastras.
Bhakti Shastras. That
yes,
is the problem.
Okay.
So they are also slightly influenced by the Dharma Shastras also, or sometimes Jnana Shastras. So therefore, they are guided. They are guided people only, but it is not that always the Bhakti Shastras guide them. That is the problem.
Okay. So to be on the safer side, like so if we follow parampara, if we follow our acharyas and our guru's instructions, so like we can escape from such type of man, right?
Yeah. If we are searching elsewhere, there is all guarantee that we can kind of deviate. If we are strictly following the guidelines of our acharyas, there is no doubt we can only practice pure devotional service, nothing else.
Right. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, because my understanding of this shloka was totally different. And after your explanation, you know, it makes it very clear. Thank you very
Not mine. Shina Chakal
much. I mean, through you it comes, Prabhuji. So we are indebted to you. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay. Anything else before we move forward? Okay. If there is none, let's continue our discussion. We have, as I said, seven more verses. Krishna's desire, whenever he wants this chapter to come get completed, that will happen. So, Krishna continues. शुभाशुभफलैरेवं मोक्षसे कर्मबन्धनैः संन्यासयोगयुक्तात्मा विमुक्तो मामुपेष्यसि. एवं मीन्स बाय दिस प्रोसेस ऑफ भक्ति मिक्स विथ निष्काम कर्म एंड ज्ञान विच वॉज डिस्कस इन द प्रीवियस वर्स. यत् करोषि यदश्नासि यज्जुहोषि ददास्यत्. ओके. बाय दिस मिक्स्ड प्रोसेस व्हाट हैपेंस, मोक्षसे, यू विल बी फ्री कर्म बंधनैहि फ्रॉम द बॉन्डेज ऑफ कर्म. शुभ अशुभ फलैर, कर्म बंधन हैज दीज टू टाइप्स, पायस पायस रिजल्ट्स एंड इम्पायस रिजल्ट्स, बोथ विल बाइंड वन टू द मटेरियल वर्ल्ड. शुभ अशुभ फलैर एवं मोक्षसे कर्म बंधनैहि. सो बाय दिस प्रोसेस ऑफ भक्ति मिक्स विद निष्काम कर्म एंड ज्ञान यू विल बी फ्री फ्रॉम द बॉन्डेज ऑफ कर्म विद इट्स पायस एंड सिंपल रिएक्शंस. And sannyasa yoga yuktatma, being engaged in renunciation of results, okay, because results is there, because you know you are engaged in karma mishra bhakti, that is karma, okay. So therefore, vimukta, being specially liberated, mam upaishyasi, you will attain me and serve me intimately. What does this mean? Let's see what Srila Vaishnava Chaitanya Thakur says. He says, you will be liberated from the bondage of karma in the form of unlimited sinful and pious reactions. The Shruti says, Bhaktir asya bhajanam tad iha amutra upadi nairasyena eva amushmin manaha kalpanam etad evacha naishkarmyam. Gopal Thapaniya Upanishad says, Bhakti is worship of the Lord. Bhaktir asya bhajanam, concentrating the mind on him, manaha kalpanam, renouncing all material desires for enjoyment in this world and in the next, tad iha amutra upadi nairasyena, and etad evacha naishkarmyam, and it destroys all the karmas. Bhakti leads to destruction of karma. So he says, you with mind engaged in renunciation of the results of action, sannyasa yoga, will not only be liberated, but being preeminent among the liberated souls, you will attain me. You will come close to me to serve me directly. The Smriti says, Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune. O great sage Mahamune, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. You know, so they don't just attain liberation, but they attain a special type of liberation, which is a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Shukadeva Goswami has also said, Muktim dadati karhichit smana bhakti yogam. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily. But he does not very easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him. This achievement with direct service to me is far superior to liberation. This is indicated in this verse. Okay. There is a footnote by His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj. He says, those who perform bhakti attain more than liberation, which is reserved for the jnanis and the yogis. This bhakti is superior to sakama bhakti and nishkama jnana mishra bhakti, which yields salokya and shantarasa respectively. So this kind of bhakti yields direct service to the Lord. But still, there is no development of prema, because prema is possible only through shuddha bhakti. But because there is a slight tinge of karma and jnana in this practice, even though there is personal service, but there is no development of an intimate personal relationship with the Lord, which is possible only through practice of Shuddha Bhakti. Okay. So Maam Upaishyasi should be understood to mean they attain the supreme abode and they get some direct service, but still it is slightly lesser than attaining a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord in one of the five rasas. It is still slightly less. It is not exactly equal. Okay. Then Krishna continues. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyah ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayi te teshu chapyaham. Samoham sarva bhuteshu, I am equal to all living beings, Krishna says. At least as Paramatma. Name dveshyosti na priyah. I do not hate anyone, nor do I favor anyone. Okay. Okay, I do not hate anyone, I do not favor anyone. Ye bhajanti tu. Tu means the word tu indicates but. Meaning, whenever the word tu comes, there is a contrast that the speaker is trying to bring in. He is trying to contrast. So, what is he trying to contrast? In the first statement, Krishna says, I am equal to all. I don't hate anyone. I don't love anyone. Tu, but, which means he is going to contrast it. Which means at a special, under some special circumstances, I am going to contrast or contradict this generic disposition of mine. What is that? Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya. But to whatever extent a person worships me with devotion, Maite teshu chapyaham, I am attached to them in a similar way. Okay. I am equal to all. As long as they have no devotion to me, I am equal to all. You know, I upadrashta anumanta, as a paramatma, I actually act to bestow them the result of their karma. Okay. But if one starts worshipping me, then I become attached to that person to the extent he becomes attached to me. So there is a contrast to this generic principle. The generic principle is that I am equal to all. I don't have any favor. But till they become my devotees, when they become my devotees, to the extent they are attached to me, to that extent I also become attached to them. Okay. So, someone may say, you liberate the devotees and then give yourself to your devotees, but not to the non-devotees. But then, do you not show prejudice arising from attraction and repulsion? Someone may ask Krishna, are you not prejudiced because you give everything to your devotees, but to non-devotees, you don't give anything. What is this? Is this not prejudice? So, Krishna says, the Lord refutes this in this verse. He says, I am equal to all. Okay. I neither hate nor favor anyone. The Lord then says, but the devotees who worship me with devotion exist in me. And I exist also in them. Okay. There is nothing special in this statement since the whole universe exists within the Lord and the Lord exists everywhere in the universe. So someone may say, the Lord says, but the devotees who worship me with devotion, they exist in me and I also exist in them. But someone may say, what is so special? The whole universe is within the Lord. And the Lord is within everything. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. So what is so special that the Supreme Lord is mentioning here? I am within them, they are within me. Fine, that is true. But that is, as a Paramatma, he is supporting everyone, and everyone is within him. Okay, and he is within everyone as Paramatma. Thus, the statement should actually mean, as those who worship me with devotion are attached to me, so I am attached to them. Te mai aya aham teshu. Because they are attached to me, I am attached to them. So where is equality? Someone may say, where is equality? The equality is there because irrespective of whoever it may be, whatever may be that person's past, if for whatever reason, if that person becomes attached to Krishna, Krishna becomes similarly attached to that person. Where is the equality lost? Doesn't matter. Till now, you have hated Krishna. Okay. Suddenly, you become attached to Krishna due to whatever reason. Krishna immediately becomes attached to you. It is reciprocal. It is reciprocal. So, still there is, the equality is not lost. So, it is reciprocal attachment. Okay. And it is attachment to that devotion. It is the attachment to the devotion, which is a part of Krishna's Swarupa Shakti. Otherwise, what distinguishes a devotee soul from a non-devotee soul? It is devotion. So Krishna is equal to all but attached to devotee soul, which means he is actually attached to devotion. Okay. So, Krishna says, J he is detached. J plus D, he is attached. Okay, which means he is actually attached to D and not really J. Okay, J is the Jiva, D is devotion. J is the Jiva, D is devotion. Okay, so when a jiva does not have that devotion, Krishna is detached, samoham sarva bhuteshu. But when that same jiva has J plus D, which is a devotee, okay, he says, I am attached. So what is he really attached to? D. And what is that D? D is a part of his swarup shakti. Okay, so therefore, that is perfectly fine. So this takes into consideration the statement, as they surrender to me, I respond to them. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. So the equality is there. So the equality is there, irrespective of whatever was your past. Right now, if you wish to become attached to me, I become attached to you. To compare the Lord to a kalpa vriksha, which gives to all persons without discrimination, is only partially correct. Is the Supreme Lord kalpa vriksha? Yes. But that is not a complete description of the Supreme Lord. That is not a complete description of the Supreme Lord. Why? It is only partially correct. Why? Those who take shelter of that tree do not become attached to it without desire for the fruit. Those who take shelter of the kalpa vriksha, they do not become attached to the kalpa vriksha without desire for the fruit. No one will become attached to the kalpa vriksha with no desire, with nothing. I don't want anything from you, O kalpa vriksha. I just love you. Don't give me anything. I don't want anything. I just love you. No one is attached to a kalpa vriksha without any desire. Nor is the kalpa vriksha attached to those who take shelter of it. Okay. The kalpa vriksha is not attached to the person who is taking shelter. Oh, the kalpa vriksha is not eagerly waiting. oh, when will my friend come and ask some benediction from me so that I can respond to him? The Kalpavriksha does not get attached to the person who takes shelter of the Kalpavriksha. And no person takes shelter of the Kalpavriksha without any attachment to the fruit. Right? Nor does it hate the enemies of those who have taken shelter. So a Kalpavriksha does not hate the enemies of those who have surrendered to the Kalpavriksha. Kalpavriksha is neutral, but the Lord kills with his own hands the enemies of his devotee. Right? The Lord says to Prahlad, Prahradaya yada druhyet hanishyepi varorjitam. I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately despite the benedictions of Brahma. Some persons explain that the word tu indicates a different intention. I am equal to all, but still I favor my devotee. Of course, this explanation is also given by some acharyas. Okay. Thus, it means that the Lord has some prejudice classed as affection for the devotee. But they explain, in the Lord, this is an ornament or enhancement and not a fault. The affection of the Lord for his devotee is well known. Okay. So, he does not have affection for the jnani or the yogi. Just as other persons have affection for their own servants and not for the servants of others, the Lord also has affection for his devotees and not for the devotees of Shiva or Durga. Okay, this is another explanation which the other acharyas give. Okay, some people, some acharyas say, the Lord is equal to all, but he has some prejudice to his devotee, which is classed as affection. Okay. But then they say, oh, this is not a dushana, but this is a bhushana. This is not a fault, but this is an ornament in the Lord's this thing. Because this is very natural. The Lord is also a personality. So just like the Lord Shiva and Goddess Durga, they are attached to they have affection for their worshippers. Similarly, the Lord also has affection for his worshippers like that. So therefore, it is not fault, but it is an ornament in the Supreme Lord like that. Also, it is described. So. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyostina priyaha. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. I am equal to all beings. I do not hate anyone, nor do I favor anyone. But to whatever extent one worships me with devotion, to that extent I reciprocate. Okay. So, someone may say, I will go over the purport once more. So, someone may say, look, you liberate the devotees and you give yourself to the devotees, but you do not give yourself to the non-devotees. Looks like you are showing some prejudice based on attraction and repulsion, just like what is seen in this material world. The Lord says, no, actually I am equal to all. I neither hate anyone nor do I favor anyone. The Lord says, so I do not hate anyone, favor anyone. So tomorrow, if the person who was hating me, tomorrow if he wishes to have a reciprocation with me, I am willing. I will not reject him. Okay. The Lord says, but the devotee who worships me with devotion exists in me and I also exist in them. Okay. But someone may say, and there is nothing special in the statement, since the whole universe exists within the Lord and the Lord exists within everything in this universe. So therefore, this is not the meaning. This is not the meaning. The actual meaning should be, as those who worship me with devotion are attached to me, Therefore, I am attached to them. Therefore, I am attached to them. Okay. And therefore, to say that the Supreme Lord is like a Kalpavriksha is not actually a glorification of the Supreme Lord, because there are faults in Kalpavriksha. There are, I won't say faults, there are inadequacies in Kalpavriksha. What are those inadequacies? First thing, those who take shelter of Kalpavriksha, they do not want to establish a relationship with the Kalpavriksha. They just want something from the Kalpavriksha. Kalpavriksha is only the means to get what they want. They don't want the Kalpavriksha. Even if they want the Kalpavriksha, they want the Kalpavriksha so that through the Kalpavriksha they can get what they actually want. So if they have no desires, they have no desire for the Kalpavriksha also. But Krishna is not like that. Okay. People, devotees are anya bilashita shunyam. They have no desire other than a relationship with Krishna. So therefore, this is one difference. Second is, Kalpavriksha does not get attached to those who take shelter of it. But Krishna becomes attached. You take shelter of him, Krishna feels ananyas chintayantomam yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Krishna actively thinks beyond what you want from him. Krishna wants to personally, the devotee does not want Krishna's personally taking care of his protection and maintenance and all that. But Krishna wants. The Kalpavriksha does not think like that. And the Kalpavriksha does not hate or the enemies of those who have taken shelter of the Kalpavriksha. But Krishna kills with his own hands the enemies of his devotee. So therefore, to compare Krishna to a Kalpavriksha is a very inadequate comparison. It is actually painful to Krishna. It is actually painful to Krishna. Krishna is so much more than a Kalpavriksha actually. So, but some, and this is one explanation. Okay. Another explanation is that the word tu indicates a different intention. He says, so I am equal to all, but still I favor my devotee. Okay, which means, yes, there is some prejudice, and that prejudice manifests in the form of affection for my devotee, and that is not a fault, but it is an ornament. That is another explanation. Okay, so in this way, Krishna says, samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyah ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. Like that. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as at? There are some questions in the chat box. I will first try to take them. In the meantime, others can formulate your questions. If you have any, you can either raise your hands or type your questions in the chat box, whatever you may feel comfortable. Okay, there is a question. Is there any service in the Shantarasa? There is no active service in Shantarasa. There is, there is a lot of awe and reverence and admiration, but there is no active service in Shantarasa. Okay. To the extent the devotees are attached in the same way the Lord is attached, but the Lord is more inclined to help devotees. Yeah, that is true. That is true. But irrespective of, like they say that you take one step, the Lord will take 10 steps. Okay. But if someone else takes one step towards the Lord, he will still take 10 steps towards him. So there is no discrimination the Lord does. He is equal in that. You take one step, he will take 10 steps. Someone else takes one step, he will take 10 steps for him also. So that way there is equality there. Also, Krishna is allowing one and all to get attached to him in devotion. So, it is a level playing field for all the souls. This is true. This is true. There is level playing field. Okay, there is something else. Okay. Okay. Anything else before we move on to the next verse? Okay. If there is none, let's continue our discussion. Krishna continues talking about pure devotional service. Okay. For his affection, ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayi te teshu chapyaham. So, Krishna says here, api chet sudhuracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadureva samantavyah samyak vyavasito hi saha. So, Krishna says, api chet, even if sudhuracharo, the most sinful person, bhajate mam, he worships me, ananya bhak, with no other desire than to please me. So he has no other desire than the desire to please Krishna, but still he may have sinful tendencies, very sinful tendencies also. Okay. Krishna says, Sadur evasa mantavyaha. I consider that person to be my devotee. Not because he is Sudurachari, but because he is Ananya Bhak. Ananya Bhak Mam Bhajate. For that purpose, he is considering him as a sadhu. Why? Samyak Vyavasito Hi Saha. Because he has fixed himself completely in me. Okay. So we have discussed this many times, but I will just quickly, because this verse has come, I will quickly touch. Actions of a sadhaka can come from two types of stimuli. One is his faith and another is his swabhava. Okay. So Krishna says here in this verse, look, I don't look at your swabhava. I look at your faith. And I judge people based on their faith. Krishna says later in the 17th chapter also, Shraddha mayoyam purushaha yoyat shraddha sa eva saha. That a person's adhikar is defined based on his shraddha. Okay. Shraddha mayoyam purushaha. Okay. So here, the word sudurachara, his sinful inclination and actions inspired by that sinful inclination is born out of his swabhava. Sudurācharo. Okay. That is born out of his conditioning, swabhava or conditioning. But Krishna says, Mām bhajate. He worships me. Not only that, Ananya Bhag. He has no other desire other than the desire to please me. The desire born out of his faith is only to please me. Sometimes he may succumb to desires which are born out of his conditioning, which he knows are unfavorable for his bhakti, but he is unable to tolerate that urge. Okay. And Samyak Vyavasitaha. Samyak Vyavasitaha means, okay, he has fixed himself completely in Krishna. So Krishna says, if I see these qualities in a person, even though his swabhava may be unfavorable, and because of that swabhava, he may sometimes engage in sudurachari activities, but still I appreciate him because of these qualities which are born out of his faith. I see his faith. What does his faith say? His faith says that Mam Bhajate. He worships me. What does his faith say then? Ananya Bhak. He has no other desire other than the desire to please me. What does his faith say next? Samyak Vyavasitaha. He has fixed himself completely in me. Okay. I see only this. Whatever may be the swabhava, I don't see it. Okay. He says such a person is a sadhu. A sadhu, he is defining based on his faith, not based on his swabhava. Sadhu here means a devotee. Okay. So beautiful purport here. Okay. Listen to this purport. You know, this is a good meditation before we go to sleep. Okay. Especially in terms of how should be our disposition towards other devotees in whom we may find some faults, which are born out of their condition. Please listen. Every word, every sentence is a loaded sentence. You can't afford to miss even a single sentence of this purport. And I am strongly requesting you, please do not drop out before this purport gets over. And the discussions which may ensue after the purport. Okay, this is going to be interesting. Very powerful purport. Krishna says, hear carefully. And while we are reading each and every statement, please meditate on this and try to see what Krishna is communicating, what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is communicating. So Krishna is telling, my attachment to my devotee is my very nature. That attachment does not decrease even if the devotee commits wrong. Of course, this wrong is out of his conditioning. Okay. For I make him come up to the highest standard. The attachment does not decrease even if the devotee commits wrong, for I make him come up to the highest standard. Now he defines, so he is definition of Su Duracharo. He is defining who is a Sudurachari. So he says, if someone with bad conduct, what is bad conduct? He says, addicted to violence, addicted to thievery, and addicted to adultery. Okay. He is addicted to violence, thievery, adultery. He is addicted to all of this. But in the same sentence, he says, he worships me, worships no one except me. He cannot worship the demigods and anyone else. And does not follow any other process like karma or jnana. He is not mixing that worship of me with, you know, karma, jnana or anything else. Okay. And Ananya Bhak, he has no other desire other than my desire. He has no other desire other than Krishna's desire. But still, he may be addicted to violence, thievery, or adultery. Because that Ananya Bhak nature is coming out of his faith. But that Sudurachari behavior is out of his past conditioning. So this Swabhava indicates, this faith indicates his true ego. And this conditioned Swabhava indicates the inertia of his past false ego. Okay. So, which is slowly dying. With Anartha Nivritti, this past false ego is slowly dying away. Okay. But Krishna sees, I am seeing what is your true ego. I am not seeing, I just want to see, I am not seeing what is, how much of the inertia of the past false ego is there. I am not willing to see that. I just want to see your true ego. Krishna says, that's why for sadhakas, they have the true ego, but with a strong inertia of past false ego. Okay. So Krishna says, I see your faith, I see your true ego. Okay. As Prabhupada gives the example of, you know, a fan, you know, the fan may be still rotating, but you have to look at the switch, whether the switch is on or off. Okay. Sometimes a fan may be switched off while it was running at the speed of 5. Okay. So when it is switched off, it may still be running very fast. But another fan may be switched on, but it is running at speed 1, very slow, barely moving. Okay. So if you look at both of them, you know, the switched off fan may be running faster than the switched on fan. Okay. So, but Krishna says, I don't look at the speed at which the fan is running. I look at the switchboard. I want to see whether the switch is on or off. If it is off, I appreciate it. That is what Krishna says. Because the switch indicates the true ego, and the fan rotating indicates the inertia of the past false ego. Because the fan is switched off, the switch is off. Why is the fan running? Because of the past inertia of motion. The past inertia of motion, which is slowing down. So you keep observing the fan, slowly that speed will slow down and it will come to rest. Okay. So that is what Krishna is talking about here. So he says, if someone with bad conduct, which means addicted to violence, addicted to thievery, addicted to adultery, but if he worships me, worships no one except me, and does not follow any other process like karma or jnana, and has no other desire than my desire, he is my devotee, Krishna says. But someone may ask, this is the Purva Paksha argument. Purva Paksha 1, the Purva Paksha argument says, but considering his bad conduct, how is he a devotee? Look at him. You know, he is addicted to so many abominable things. How can you even call him a devotee? So Krishna's response. Okay. Krishna says, he is to be respected as a devotee because of his devotee qualities. It is a command. Not doing so is offense. My order is the authority. Okay. He is to be respected as a devotee because of his devotee qualities. What are the devotee qualities? Mam bhajate, ananya bhag, samyak vyavasitaha. These are devotee qualities. So he should be respected. Just give me 1 second. Just give me 1 second. Okay, so he says, my order is the authority, he says. So he says, my attachment to my devotee is my very nature. That attachment does not decrease even if the devotee commits wrong, for I make him come up to the highest standard. Okay, I think we have already seen this. Sorry, this is a repetition, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. So then he says, so then the Purva Paksha continues. He asks his next question. Okay, I am sorry, I understand your point, but I seek some clarity. Okay, so my understanding is, so he should be considered a devotee in the portion where he worships you and as a non-devotee in that portion where he commits adultery, right? So when he is worshipping you, he should be considered your devotee. When he is engaged in thievery, adultery, etc., he should be considered a non-devotee, right? Is this correct? Krishna's response. Krishna says, no, he should be considered as a devotee in all his parts. You should not see his bad qualities at all, because those bad qualities is indicative of the inertia of his past false ego. It is not indicative of his true ego. Those activities are not born out of his faith. they are born out of his swabhava, his conditioning. So therefore he says that you should not see his bad qualities at all. Why? He is completely convinced. Samyak vyavasitaha. What is his conviction? Krishna says, he makes a splendid resolution. The devotee says, I will go to hell for my sinful actions, which are hard to give up. I am trying to give up. I am again and again slipping. Okay. But I will not give up dedicated worship of Krishna. I will not give up dedicated worship of Krishna. That I will not give up. That is his conviction. And Krishna wants to see that conviction. Krishna is not seeing whether the person has the capability of giving up his conditioning or not. But Krishna is seeing whether he wants to see with all these things, is he determined to serve me? Krishna wants to see that. Okay. Like that. So that is the purport. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, as add, anything anyone would like to share? You can please go ahead. Yes, Champaklata Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanyavad Pranams. Are you able to hear?
Yes, Mataji.
Prabhuji, sometimes it's not the four regulative principles that people break, but there could be instances where somebody could be, you know, highly jealous of someone, you know, mm-hmm. or very proud of oneself, or right. always, you know, wanting to have name and fame, etc. So, okay. but then we see that over the years, many, many years also, there is not much difference in spite of being a devotee. So, okay. how do we understand such cases, Prabhuji?
Well, it is not that there may be no difference. There may be very meager difference because, you know, of the sincerity of practice. There may be lack of sincerity of practice. So the progress becomes very slow. And on top of that, sometimes there may be commission of offenses. But nevertheless, even the desire for name, fame, prestige, etc., when we see it in others, how do we know that they are convinced that they want name, fame, and but they are not considering it as an anartha? So how do we know if they are succumbing to this anartha of name, fame, glorification, or if they are actually equating it with bhakti? We do not know. Ultimately, we can speak for ourselves. We cannot speak for others. Because unless we have earned their trust and they open up their heart and speak to us, okay, this is what I feel. But if they don't do that, if we have not earned their trust, then it is very difficult, you know. They may not open up their heart to us and actually communicate what they actually feel.
Okay, so you're trying to say that even if externally it appears like they're thriving for name fame, it could not be so because internally they may be quite renounced or
they may wish to be renounced.
Okay.
They have a desire to be renounced, but this influence of this name, fame, this rajogun is in their swabhava is so strong that, you know, they get helplessly carried away to go behind name, fame, glorification. That is also possible.
Okay. Yeah, so, but then our submission should be like, you know, we should not see that kind of fault also in people, right, Prabhuji?
Ideally, we should see the way Krishna is seeing. Yes, he is willing to worship Krishna, so he is a sadhu. But having said that, we can always choose association which is more inspiring for us. That provision is also there.
If
that particular association is not so inspiring for us, then without, not that we pull him down and say he is not a sadhu, but we say, I am inspired more by a different sadhu, so I will take his association.
Mm. I have actually seen two cases, Prabhuji, where one person was like, a smoker, and he has been a devotee for the last maybe 40 plus years. Very elderly person, but gradually he went away from Krishna conscious path totally. Like, he took off his kandimala and stopped chanting. Now he doesn't come in the devotee attire anymore. Like, he's totally changed. I mean, started eating non-vegetarian and things like that. There's another person who actually, always used to look down upon devotees. I think that comes under aparadhas, no, Prabhuji? Okay, so that's a different case altogether. But this is about, yeah. So what about this person, Prabhuji, who, almost for
We do
50
not
years?
know. We do not know. Sometimes, okay, let me explain a hypothetical situation and you can tell me whether it is a possibility or not. Okay, so the person was smoking. Okay, he tried to give it up. But he could not give it up.
Yes, he
Then he
tried,
tried to
but
give it up, then he could not give it up. And gradually this happened, and when people caught him, when devotees saw him smoking, rather than encouraging him, there were quite a few devotees who were ridiculing him, criticizing him, calling him a hypocrite and all that. So it so happened that why I should yes, this is hypocrisy. I am not able to give it up because I am wearing a kantimala and chanting. Therefore, I am seen as a hypocrite. So let me now remove it because I am unable to give it up. So, because of the way the devotees treated him, where he did not get encouragement, probably with deep regret. That are actually I want to practice Krishna consciousness, but somehow this damn smoking habit doesn't leave me. But these devotees are getting behind me. So maybe due to that kind of a frustration, not that he has become unconvinced of Krishna consciousness, but just that is unable to give it up, and at the same time, stay in a society where he would not be judged. So that could be a case. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, that possibility is there. But on the other side, what I have also seen is he got a lot of encouragement, Prabhuji. Like many people, like I mean, he used to treat me more like a daughter. So always used to say, Prabhuji, I mean, he used to come to our home, have prasadam. So he was treated very well by all the devotees. So that possibility, I mean, that also has
Yeah,
happened.
so the only thing is we do not know. Ultimately, we are not the only people who are dealing with him.
Correct.
We
Correct.
are just a very small part of his whole life. So we do not know. So what we can do is, one thing is, there could have been cases of offenses where he probably committed some offense and because of which his faith gradually broke down. That could be a case. But what we can do is, we can still be very nice to him, nice and accommodative,
Correct.
and so that we see we very clearly communicate to him through our actions that whenever you are ready, the door is open. Okay, the door is not closed. Come back. We are waiting for you. We are waiting for you. Whenever you are ready, we wish to welcome you. So if that communication is there, so somehow at some point, as Krishna says, Navai Jano Jatu Kathanchanavrajen, Mukunda Sevi Anyavad Anga Samsritin, Smaran Mukundangri Upabuhanam Punar Vihatu Michen, Na Rasagraho Jana. So Krishna says that, once one has taken up to bhakti, even if he gives it up, Krishna says, I will personally keep reminding him of his good old days in Krishna consciousness, slowly, slowly, and slowly I will pull him back. Krishna says that. So,
This
and
includes
that.
people who do aparadhas also, Prabhuji, this statement.
No. This includes not offenders. Krishna does not tolerate offenses. But definitely, if someone is unable to give up their low natures, their past conditioning, then definitely Krishna says, don't worry, I will slowly pull you. That is the next verse. Also, he is going to say that, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. So he's going to say that. But Krishna takes responsibility. And, through devotees, through various other ways, Krishna keeps reminding them of their good old days in Krishna consciousness. And slowly, at what point, we do not know. It may be in the next life also, they may again take up to Krishna consciousness.
But sometimes, Prabhuji, what I feel is, even if due to anarthas, if somebody is doing, is it not an aparadha? Because
yes,
it's like, you know,
it can be
offending.
It can be an aparadha if they are committing those sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. If they think that, oh yeah, actually I am a devotee, bhakti is very powerful, I am chanting my holy names, so the holy names will take care of all the things, I don't have to worry. If they think like that, and in that mood, if they commit the sinful activities, then it becomes a serious offense, and very quickly they may lose that devotion.
So in that case, we can consider it as nam aparadha.
Yes. But the thing is, the interesting thing is, we cannot identify it in others. We can identify it in ourselves only.
True, true, true.
Yeah, that we have to be very careful.
But there are such blatant examples also, maybe as reminders, they come right in front of us, Prabhuji, so that, you know, we learn a lesson, right, Prabhuji?
Sometimes, I mean, it is better to, I would say it is better to learn these kind of lessons from the Shastras, where there is clear commentary by the Acharyas, and what we see in front of our eyes, better we give them the benefit of doubt.
Okay, right. Never. Okay.
Yeah. That way we protect ourselves.
Yeah, nice, Prabhuji. That really helps. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Mother Gail.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You can hear, no? Okay. One thing is, when we say that Krishna does not see the swabhav, you know, of the sadhu, he only sees their pure faith.
Yeah, he wishes to see their faith. Not that he is completely ignorant of their swabhava. When judging the devotee, he wishes to see their faith.
Yeah, this is the clarification I want. I mean, I think I know the answer, but I just need to hear from you that when we say that he doesn't see their swabhava, it just means that he doesn't use it as a reason to reject them.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, you know, he must see their swabhava. Otherwise, how will he help them, no?
Exactly, exactly. True. That's second half of that, what you said, that is what he's going to tell in the next verse. Does not mean I don't see it at all. I see it to help them. I don't see it and hold it against them.
Mm-hmm.
I see it to help them. But I don't see it to hold it against them. That is the meaning.
Very good. Yeah, I needed to hear that. Okay, another thing is, one explanation that I've heard about this verse is that, you know, a person who is actually sadhu, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I know what you will say to this also, but, you know, such a person, their slip-ups, you know, their bad behavior, it will be like so kind of rare, occasional, like because they have such a seriousness about, you know, they're properly situated, as the verse says, right? If they're properly situated, their mentality will be such that the fall down will only be like accidental and rare, and as soon as it happens, it'll be deep regret and immediate rectification, but it's not something that would be happening time and again. you
Well,
know?
again, the conviction to correct may be there, but the ability may not be there due to the deep-rooted anarthas. So that is why here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur says, addicted to violence, addicted to thievery, and addicted to adultery. No, addiction is not accidental. Addiction is something which is chronic, you know, which is deep rooted. So, but still, Krishna is calling him as sadhu in the sense. So, sadhu is translated here as a devotee. Okay. Sadhu may have different connotations. Right, sadhu means an absolute saintly person with all saintly qualities. We are not talking about that. Here we are telling he is a devotee. So are we even unwilling to give him the position of a devotee to that person? Krishna is willing. So, yeah, he is a struggling devotee, but at least devotee nevertheless. And he is willing to struggle. Some people may have great ability to struggle because they have already undergone significant anarthanivritti. He may be a greater sadhu. Okay. But there, here, Krishna is using the word sadhu to indicate a devotee. That's all. Sadhu here does not necessarily mean the greatest saintly person who is ornamented with all kinds of saintly qualities. That's not the way in which he is using the word sadhu. Yes, sadhu means devotee.
Yeah, how do we know that actually? That's the connotation here.
That's how the acharyas are explaining. Ultimately, everything they are supposed to understand based on the explanation of the acharyas.
So the acharyas are saying we're talking about ordinary devotees, struggling devotees. They do say that, actually.
Isn't it what does it mean, addicted to violence, addicted to thievery, addicted to adultery? What would that mean otherwise then?
Yeah, true.
But what you say is right. So, some other acharyas take a little bit more stricter stance in explaining this verse, actually. You are right. But why? So that So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur explains this verse more in the sense of how you should treat other devotees when you see such behavior. But some other acharyas give a little bit more stricter explanation of this verse in the context of how you should be to yourself when such tendencies are seen in yourself. Okay. So there is a more stricter explanation given. So that also you can see, it's not a contradiction, but the explanation is from whose perspective? Are you reading this verse as Sudurachari yourself, or are you seeing the Sudurachari tendencies in others? So Vishwanatha Chakradhakur's explanation is more in terms of how would you respond to your perception of the Sudurachari tendencies in others. Whereas some other acharyas, they give a little bit more stricter explanation of this verse. How should you consider yourself? So don't be very eager to call yourself a sadhu.
Okay?
So this sadhu Krishna is, this word he is reserving for so there the word sadhu may be explained in a slightly different way. Okay. But nevertheless, we have to understand the context. Here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur is indicating that learn to, you know, neglect the when you see others, not in yourself, of course. When you see others, learn to neglect their swabhava and try to see their sincere desire to serve Krishna. That's all.
But even when we're, you know, observing ourselves, you know, we have to observe ourselves also in a way that keeps ourselves encouraged too, right?
Encouraged, exactly. This is also another thing. So that does not mean, so of course, this is encouraging to us also. not in an unhealthy way, but it could be in a very healthy way, that yes, I am slipping, but I will, because here very clearly Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti explains also, right? So he thinks that samyak vyavasitah, explaining that, he says he makes a splendid resolution, I will go to hell for my sinful actions which are hard to give up, but I will not give up dedicated worship of Krishna. This is possible for a sadhaka. You know, however deeply he may be conditioned, he can at least express this desire to Krishna. Krishna, let me go to hell and suffer, but let me please not give up my dedicated worship of you.
Well, I mean, I can say that part. I don't think I can let me go to hell, but I can say
that. Of course. Yeah. I mean, true. I understand. But the point is,
I understand the point. Yeah. So, Prabhu, you know, I really need to just for a moment just play devil's advocate, because I'm channeling some other person's explanation, you know, and I just need to hear like how you would respond. Like, so, you know, a struggling sadhaka, they have all these anartas, you know, struggling with. And so this devil that I'm advocating would say that, you know, well, you know, when are we going to stop being so immersed in our material life? You know, it's time for us to just come out of this immersion in material and, you know, stay focused in our spiritual identity only. You know, otherwise, when will this struggle ever actually end? To be so anartha conscious is like keeping us entangled here, you know. This is what they all say.
I mean, true. Whatever is mentioned is correct, but we can take a step ahead from wherever we are. You know, we are not trying to pull the gold standard down, but wherever I am, I can just take one baby step ahead in the right direction. That much I can do. So, in principle, I accept whatever you say. I really don't wish to be so anartha conscious. But the fact is, that is where I am. And I am willing to take baby steps in the right direction. So I accept your point. But I have to try. I have to take realistic steps, which is possible for me. And I am willing to do that. So how, tell me, how I can instantaneously give up being anartha conscious and be completely situated in my true ego without getting affected at all? Is there a realistic solution that you have that I can instantaneously give it up and be immediately situated?
Yeah, because this thing, this has been my issue with this person, that, you know, how to instantly... And they would say,
in my understanding, what he might mean is, don't keep justifying. Probably this is what is the argument, which is reasonable. We should definitely not keep justifying our, material anarthas and say, oh yeah. So that the justifying attitude is wrong. The willingness. But that does not mean that the willingness to correct should be there. But the willingness to correct does not immediately translate into complete correction of the anarthas. Yeah. That is gradual. That is why, the Shastras very clearly indicate, Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur says that there is gradual destruction of anarthas. Eka desha vartini, bahu desha vartini, prayiki, Purna, Atyantiki, there are five stages, gradually only the anarthas go away. So, while immediately I want my anarthas to go away, but it will go gradually only, whether I want it or not. So, therefore, yes, I should not be justifying the actions that I perform being impelled by my anarthas, but at the same time, I have to take realistic steps, and how much ever I might want it to immediately go away, It will go away gradually only.
And we say gradually because this is up to Krishna, right? When they will go.
Yeah, it is up to Krishna also. And also it depends on, how intensely we are able to practice bhakti. So, yeah.
Okay, Prabhu, I see the time, but this thing is just repetition purely. So when we say that, and thank you, that was very, very, very good for me. When we say, when Krishna says, I am in them and they are in me, as you said, he means I am attached to them because they are attached to me. But when he says, I forget which way it is, he says, they are in me, but I am not in them, right? That part...
It's a different context. The earlier verse you're talking about, right?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about that. So that is about in general living entities. Here he is specifically talking about devotees.
Oh. Okay. So in general, when he says, let me see. They are me, but I am not in them. I am, let me see.
They I am are, detached. That's what it means. I am detached. That's what it means.
Yeah, when he says, I am not in them, means I am detached.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Thank you very, very, very much, Prabhu.
Okay, we are done. The time is up. We are 3 minutes over time. So if both of you, Shivakumar Prabhu and Keshav Premataji, if you can keep your questions very short, because I don't wish to take other people's time for granted. Yes, Prabhu, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Maybe next week also we can take, Prabhu. I don't know if this answer will
if
take.
If it's a long answer, we will take it next week. You can ask your question, go ahead.
Yeah, yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. So one question, Prabhu. I'm trying to ask this question from a Purva Pakshi standpoint, Prabhu. The sloka immediately, which is before this sloka, he talks about the neutrality, right? And right after that, this sloka comes, Prabhu. So if a Purva Pakshi asks, is this not a partiality so intimidating that Krishna is trying to force someone to become a devotee? What would be our answer is what I was having in mind.
No one is, Krishna says, I mean, let's see. I am just seeing it as a definition. Okay. I am just seeing it as a definition. Krishna says, even if some sinful tendencies are seen in a devotee, in a person who worships me, worships me with no other desire other than the desire to please me, and consider and he has fixed himself completely in me, I consider that person to be a devotee. So this is a definition. So, like, say, for example, I define a battery. Even if it may not be cylindrical in shape, but as long as it charges my phone, I consider it as a battery. This is a definition. So the definition of a battery is that which charges. Similarly, the definition of a devotee is one who worships Krishna with no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna, and he does not worship any other demigod or anyone else. He is a devotee. This is a definition that Krishna is giving. So now that devotee may have some conditioning, or he may be free from conditioning. That is different. So similarly, the battery may be cylindrical. The battery may be, if it is cylindrical and if it perfectly fits, it looks aesthetically very pleasing and all that. That is fine. But ultimately, what defines a battery? It has to charge. So here Krishna is giving a definition. Definition of a devotee. Even though the devotee may have some influence of past conditioning still there, but as long as he is worshipping me with no other goal other than the goal to please me, he is a devotee. That's what Krishna is telling. Where is the question of, this is a definition verse. Where is the question of partiality here? He is just defining who is a devotee. That's all.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Keshav Premataji.
Prabhuji, I just want to know, like, if someone devotee is indulging in adultery of all the, I mean, in any of those things, Prabhuji, and if we comment on them, according to Krishna, it's offense only, no, Prabhuji?
Yeah, if we are just gossiping about it without trying to help that person.
Yeah, Prabhuji, because like not knowing this much in detail, most of our centers, I mean, most of our temples, they have a tendency, someone, as mentioned here, they may break any of the regulative principles because of their, because of this swabhava. But devotees will be gossiping around, no, Prabhuji. Like,
yeah, that is,
so
yeah.
That person, he just did a sin and he says he will escape, Prabhuji. But gossiping, we will do apradha and we will get more. I mean, our
implicated.
bhakti is, and, is detrimental, no, Prabhuji.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt
so
about it.
This understanding, it should be clear, no, Prabhuji. Like, it should be made clear to devotees by our, among devotees, we should have this understanding that even if that case, it is between him and higher authorities and Krishna and not, and we don't have any business over there. Because I could see, Prabhuji, practically, they're calling each other, and, you know, that person did
You know,
this.
you know, you know this, you know this, you know this, you know this, you know this.
Yes,
And
Prabhuji.
WhatsApp and phone calls and everything and email. Even no one bothered to find out how much is reality, how much is not. In a moment, everything spreads like that. And it may not be true also.
Prabhuji,
even
one
if it
doubt,
isn't true.
Prabhuji, like, final doubt, Prabhuji. I'm not taking much time. See, if it is for us, it's okay, Prabhuji. But from it, when it comes to the managerial part, they have to take action, you know, Prabhuji.
Yeah, they have to.
So
they have to do it.
So then it is against Krishna's will. Krishna says, if he does devotion,
no.
I will take care of you people. Don't worry.
No one is telling you are not a devotee. No one is telling you are not a devotee. You are a devotee, but for performing this particular role. As a devotee, there are additional qualifications which you may not have. No one is saying you are not a devotee. But there may be additional responsibilities which may be needed apart from your qualification to be a devotee. So that you are not meeting. So you may not hold this position, but I definitely respect you as a devotee. So and this is one thing. And second thing is, not everyone, the institutional, portfolio need not be the only way in which we need to relate with people. Okay, I may be your managerial authority, but apart from that, I am also your devotee friend. So as a managerial authority, I may have to take this role, but as a friend, I am willing to help. Willing to give you whatever help you need, I am willing to help you. So yes, as a in this particular role for the institution, I may have to take this decision. But as a friend, I am willing to help you in whatever way you want. So one should take that role.
And this particular verse should reach all the devotees, Prabhuji. Like, it's very, very important for our practical understanding among devotees, dealing with devotees, Prabhuji. It's very inspiring. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay, I think we should pause here. We are already quite late. So we will continue this discussion next Friday. Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.